Hello, welcome. What can I get for you to drink? This is Joseph Borowski. I'm a world-traveling cocktail evangelist and bartender trainer, responsible for hundreds of bar menus in over three dozen countries. My namesake no-menu cocktail bars, J. Borowski, are in Bangkok, Hong Kong, and Shanghai. I am a bartender. You're listening to my podcast, Ask the Bartender. My goal here is to find out from bartenders around the world various bits of information on whatever topic interests me at the time. It should be common knowledge that the bartender knows a little bit about everything. So let's get started. The daiquiri has always been a very special cocktail to me. It is one of the quintessential classics. When I do my bartender training all over the world, it is imperative that each bartender make an amazing daiquiri. This is one of those drinks that every good barkeep must craft to perfection. Being able to do so ensures a successful creation of a whole slew of other cocktails that balance sweet and sour, allow the spirits to poke through at the oh-so-right amount, and that so nicely demonstrate the concepts of freshness, cocktail roundness, and simplicity. For the second episode of the podcast, I would like to share with you stories, explanations, and recipes of the daiquiri by five exceptional bartenders from four different cities. Please keep in mind that the restaurant and bar business, along with other hospitality sectors and the service industry, are perhaps the most hit by the current crisis brought on by COVID-19. Each one of these voices represents many millions whose lives and careers have been turned entirely upside down in this new surreal reality we are faced with. And now, what of the daiquiri?
I am the very model of a modern major general. I'm information, animal, vegetable, and mineral. My name is Souther Teague. I have a bar in the East Village of New York called Amor e Amargo, and I make drinks. Man, first I can't tell you how long it's been since I made a daiquiri. I don't use any juice or sugar here. We don't shake any drinks. But I did just have a nice daiquiri. I guess the first thing I would say just about daiquiris in general is that I do find them to be a litmus. You know, I think that's a common bartender litmus. For me, if I walk into a bar and I can't get a decent daiquiri or a decent old fashioned, or both, frankly, then that's already telling of that bar's capacity for making good drinks. You know, I taught for 2 years at the New England Culinary Institute. I taught only senior level classes, but among the many things I taught there, I taught an elective course of ice carving. I'm an ice carver, and it was elective, so it wasn't a required class. And so when you would sign up for my class, I would go back through your records or go back and talk to your instructors and see how well you were doing in school in general. And my answer always was, if you can't cook rice, you can't carve ice. If you're not doing well in your other classes, you don't need to be focusing on ice carving. This is a bonus. So if you can't make a daiquiri or a Negroni, I don't know what you're doing making drinks, you know? Stop with your house-made infusions and your tinctures and your, you know, hand-foraged whatever the fuck all, and make me a good daiquiri, and then we'll talk about those things, you know? Like, no need to climb the ladder yet.
My name's Ezra Starr. I'm the general manager and bar manager of a bar called Drink in Boston. Yeah, I love the daiquiri. In Boston, we have a thing that we kind of came up with, I think it's from Boston, called a daiquiri timeout. A lot of us were out drinking quite a while, and we'd want something quick and citrusy and energetic before we bounced to another bar. So we'd drink daiquiris. We started making a joke. I think it's been a few people, but daiquiri timeout was kind of a way of going from one bar to another. Something in between or something between drinking just to wake you back up.
My name is Alex Bachman. I'm one of the partners here at Billy Sunday, and I also own a brokerage company called Soul Agent Spirits, which focuses on the importation and brokerage of back vintage alcohol. We've actually done a plenty of variations on the daiquiri at Billy Sunday since its opening. You know, as yourself mentioned and others, it's a great yardstick to judge a bar or even a bartender's skill set when it comes to a shaken cocktail, and certainly a rum-focused one. But like many of the drinks we do here, we like to stick to classic builds, classic blending ratios, classic techniques. So for us, it's okay. Well, instead of using a traditional, a simple syrup, let's use a Okinawan black sugar from Japan. Let's use a palm sugar. Let's use a jaggery style of sugar. Of course, taking liberty with the rums. Let's do ones with agricole. Let's do ones with aged agricole. We've done riffs on it. Well, most people won't agree with it, but it went crushed ice and frappe variants, and also taking a lot of liberty with citrus. So as opposed to the traditional lime, using things like yuzu or sudachi or shimamikin, or I know this all seems like it has a lot of Asian flair to it, but it's definitely something that we've had a lot of success with. And then a lot of fun with the serving vessels too, actually. You know, of course, I'm doing them in the straight coupes, but also like really cool bronze goblets and all kinds of different antique metalware and things like that, that are fun as well. So yeah, we love it.
My name is Beckley Franks. I live in Hong Kong. I'm 31 years old. And I ice scarred. I was once platinum. Now I have beautiful, luscious, dark brown purple hair, for the record, so give you guys a visual. And I'm the resident babe and proprietor of the Pontiac, a craft neighborhood cocktail bar. So in 2012, I was on the USA team for the 42 Below World Cup. Yeah, so I was on the team with Ken Curtis and Steve Schneider, brother from another mother, and we won. So technically, like, sort of first female to ever win an inter or a global cocktail competition. But I don't really view it that way because it was a team, but it was still really, really amazing. We'll go with a recipe that is like on the top of my head right now. It's called the Hop, Skip, and Jump. I know it's a hyper creative name, right? So it's Jamaican rum, your preference on Jamaican rum, but this particular recipe is Appleton. Pineapple gum, so it's gonna have a little bit more viscosity and concentrated sugar content. You can do like 1.5, so 45 milliliters of the rum, and then 1 pineapple gum and 3/4 lime, depending on your lime, and then a teaspoon of Becquerel. Becquerel happens to be my particular bartender's ketchup. It's just the way that I am. I can't go changing, but yeah, and Becquerel like really, really makes the pineapple pop. Shaken, coupe. Delicious, no-brainer. It's really, with the daiquiri, I mean, it's like, if there were a cocktail to be the bartender's handshake, it's like the daiquiri, right? That's how the phenomenon of the DTO came out, the daiquiri timeout. It's like bartender's shot because they wanted something that was lower proof than Fernet or just straight shots. And it's interesting because it's like the easier the cocktail, the easier it is to like fuck up. It's just so funny. We're sitting here having a conversation about a 3-part cocktail. Again. Like, still.
So I'm Chaim Dauerman. I'm the head bartender at the Up and Up in Greenwich Village in New York City. My favorite spirit is rum. I'm known as a gin expert. But people are surprised when they hear me express my love of rum. But in the end, the spirit that I spend the most time drinking is rum. My favorite cocktail is a rum old fashioned. And when I'm not in the mood for a rum old fashioned, I am often known to drink a daiquiri. Well, I mean, the daiquiri kind of plays a very key role in my beginning as a bartender. I moved to New York and my first bartending job was in a diner-themed restaurant. I'll just say I don't think there's a cocktail bartender in New York who's made more milkshakes in their career than I have. My next job was in a cigar bar where I was serving things that were one round, one cigar and scotch equaled in dollar value an entire night's worth of tips in my previous job. And I have a lot of trouble finding a jacket that fits me. So I was wearing a blazer that was far too big for me. The owner insisted that I shave. And when I shave, I look like I'm about 4 years old. So I basically looked like a 13-year-old kid that had broken into his father's wardrobe and was playing dress up and adorably serving his dad's friends while his dad was away. And I had to carry myself with a certain degree of gravitas. There was no manager on duty. It was just me and a barback and maybe a server. If there was any problem, I was the one that had to deal with it. Me, 24-year-old me. 24-year-old beardless, glasses, jacket too big, me. I was the one that had to say to some guy who just spent $70 on a whiskey, sir, I need you to stop talking to that lady that way. And if you can't, I need you to get the hell out of here. So needless to say, I had to project something big. And I learned to do it. One day, a guy comes into, he was sitting at one of the outside tables. He walks and sets his stuff down outside, walks in and says, hey, I'm sitting outside. I'd like you to make me a daiquiri, please, and bring it out to me. And I say, sir, I'm sorry, this isn't really a daiquiri kind of place. The guy says, not a daiquiri kind of place. Let me tell you something. And he starts going on this rant about the history of the daiquiri and Ernest Hemingway and Cuba and all this stuff. And it wasn't a very long rant, but it was enough to cut me down to size. And he says, so what I want you to do is look that up. I'll be outside. And he turns away and storms out. So I take out my book of like whatever book I had, and I'm like, this guy, Ernest Hemingway, Cuba, you know, what is he talking about? And I go in and there's an entry on the daiquiri and it's like, blah, 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 Ernest Hemingway, blah, 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 Cuba. Like pretty much it was like he summarized what I was reading. So a few minutes later, I brought him a daiquiri and apologized.
If you ever get the chance to try a daiquiri made by one of these amazing bartenders, consider yourself incredibly lucky. Once the world regains some of its previous normalcy, please go out and support them along with your favorite local bartenders. Believe me, we are really going to need it. Any comments about today's episode? Check the show notes for how to contact me. Thank you for stopping by, having a listen, and asking the bartender. Listen, I'm trying to get this podcast out there, so if you like what you've heard, please share with your friends and rate the podcast for a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you use to listen to this. It'll help out a lot. And thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
I am the very model of a modern mated kinder alive. Information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England and I quote the fights historical from Marathon to Waterloo in all the categorical. I'm very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. I understand equations both as simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news.